Next month, a 23-year-old rapper in Virginia named Antoine Stewart will go on trial for a double murder. But it wasn't a gun or a fingerprint or any physical evidence that led police to Stewart as a suspect. It was the lyrics he wrote in a song called Ride Out.
Listen, walk to your boy and I approached him. 12 midnight on the trap house porch. Everybody saw when I'm choked him. But nobody saw when I'm smoked him. Roofed him. Chopping up the shank, then I poked him. 357 Smith & Wesson being scoped him. Roofed him. Had me cracking up, so I joked him.
Of course, violence has always been a prime subject in rap, but it's only recently that prosecutors have used songs as evidence for particular rappers' particular alleged crimes. Right now, the New Jersey Supreme Court is about to decide a case on whether one rapper's lyrics should have been admitted as evidence in his 2008 conviction and 30-year sentence for attempted murder. Sharas Kubrin is a professor of criminology at the University of California at Irvine who has written about all of this a lot. Sharas, welcome to Studio 360.
Thanks for having me.
So tell me about the Vontae Skinner case that is now before the New Jersey Supreme Court. What happened there?
Well, this case is the one that's been receiving the most attention in the media, and it's important because what you have here is an individual whose 13 pages of violent rap lyrics were used against him in court without the jurors knowing, in some cases, that these lyrics were written years prior. And not only that, the lyrics constituted the central piece of evidence against Vontae Skinner. There was very little else.
Really? So the fact that the lyrics refer to his Tech 9 gun and being in love with death and four slugs drilling your cheek to blow your face off and all that, that was the evidence mostly that gave him 30 years?
First of all, that's very common in rap music. All of those examples that you just gave, I could pull up in 50, hundreds of songs, actually, of rap lyrics. But yes, that ended up being the main evidence. I think there was eyewitness testimony that was later recanted.
Are there many established legal rules or precedents about the admissibility of something like lyrics as evidence?
Absolutely. And the problem is that they're not getting applied, at least in the case of rap lyrics. They are in other forms of artistic expression, but not when it comes to rap lyrics.
But of course, that's partly the genre's own doing, because one of its central tenets has always been to keep it real, to purport these songs as being semi-autobiographical depictions of gritty real life and to have criminal pasts and all the rest. So the problem has sort of been brought on themselves, no?
Absolutely. There's some complexity there, and that is one of the big points is that rap music uses a lot of poetic devices, things like metaphor, exaggeration, other artistic devices. And one of those artistic devices is this notion of keeping it real. And that can be confusing to people who don't understand or know much about rap music because for the most part, that's a marketing pose, right? That, too, is an artistic convention.
Yeah.
But if you don't listen to rap music or know anything about it, it may seem like, well, this person is making an autobiographical confession or an actual threat in their music.
Right. So let's say a hypothetical case where the police and prosecutors have hard evidence that this guy did this shooting or did this murder, did this thing. And they also want to introduce rap lyrics to emphasize that. Would you say, no, keep the rap lyrics out, just use the evidence? That's your position? Really?
Why bring in artistic expression that may have absolutely nothing to do with the facts of the case? And that's the problem. Across most of these cases, there is absolutely no correspondence between the lyrics and what happened in the cases, right? So there might be generic mentions of Glocks and shootings and that sort of thing, right? But that's what defines gangster rap music. So of course that's going to be there. That's the given.
I want to try something. I want to just put on a record picked almost at random. This is Dead Wrong by the late rapper Biggie Smalls.
When I get dusted, I like to spread the blood like mustard. Busted. My hardcore rain leaves you rusted. Move over, Lucifer. I'm more ruthless. Leave you toothless. You keep it. I flip it. Tears don't affect me. I hit them with the tech. G's disrespect me. My potency is deadly. I'm shooting babies. No ifs, ands, or maybes. Hit mummy in the tummy if the hooker plays a dummy. Slip the wrist a little sis.
Now, that's grotesque, of course, and the body count is around 4 in that song. So are police and prosecutors now just combing through YouTube looking for suspicious videos with lyrics like that? Or do they find a suspect and then say, oh, he's also rapped about this kind of thing?
Yeah, I'd say there's two basic tactics that are happening now. In most cases, prosecutors are using the lyrics, whether they found them prior or they're sifting through YouTube videos. Either way, to portray these lyrics as accurate depictions of the individual's past behavior or imply that these videos, these lyrics are reflections of an individual's criminal disposition. Like, look, if they can rap about it, they could certainly do it in life. A more sinister tactic, we argue, though, involves actually criminalizing the rap lyrics themselves. In other words, making rap lyrics the center of the case, and these individuals are charged with making terroristic threats. And I testified in a case back in 2011 that had literally the lyrics were the centerpiece of the case. This is the Olutosin Oduwale case in Illinois. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. This is a young man. He was a college student at Southern Illinois University at Edwardsville. They found some lyrics in a car that had ran out of gas that were rap lyrics. Everybody agreed they were rap lyrics on one side of the piece of paper. On the other side were more rap lyrics and then six lines of text. And these six lines of text are upon which the entire case rested. And the state basically argued they amounted to a terroristic threat. And he maintained and his defense maintained that they were the beginning stages of rap lyrics.
Well, now that prosecutors are making it dangerous to even do the raps, maybe that could perversely incite more of it.
That's a fair question. If you look at the history of rap music, certainly that the tension between law enforcement and rappers fueled a lot of the raps early on, if you go back to the late 80s, right? So you're absolutely right. I suspect as this tactic grows, because it's been successful among prosecutors. So now what you're starting to see, I mean, there's evidence of a training manual from the early 2000s that talked about using lyrics as a way to invade and exploit the defendant's true personality. So I think this tactic over the late 90s and early 2000s caught on among prosecutors and became a way in which to kind of sidestep the collection of traditional evidence and have something very powerful to use among jurors.
Charis, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Charis Kubrin is an associate professor of criminology, law, and society at UC Irvine. So what do you all think? Should a rapper's lyrics ever be admissible as evidence in a court of law? Tell us in a comment at studio360.org.
I don't pack a 9mm. Most of y'all gangster rappers ain't hardcore neither. Whoever get mad, then I'm talking about you. Claim you fear no man, but never walk without crew. Where I'm from, your reputation don't mean jack. So what you pack, gats, and you sell...